Our Old Testament lesson today comes from Isaiah, in the 55th chapter, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 9. Listen for the word of our Lord. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Sisters and brothers, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. It's a wonderful passage from this wonderful book of Isaiah. This passage is most likely what many would refer to as the third Isaiah, thinking that at least three different people had written for that book over the years. At least that's what scholars like to say. I really don't know, and I don't get into it too much. I just know that it's really good stuff that's in there. This was probably written after the Israelites had returned to the Promised Land, or at least some of them had returned to the Promised Land, coming out of diaspora. Yet many of them stayed behind. They had grown into the place that God had brought them to. And they were there, and they were trying to figure out what they should do, how to live their lives, what was going on. It was a different world for them. A lot of geopolitical stuff that I am not going to go into today, but not only had they left their country and gone to another country, that country got taken, and some of them got shipped to another place, and it has not been a really great 30, 40, 50, 60 years for them. It was difficult, and they didn't really know what to do. So in many ways, this Isaiah is talking to us today as well as he was to those people so many years ago. We don't know what's going on. Every day we see news, and it seems like this person is saying yes and this person is saying no to the exact same thing that has happened. We are kind of unrested at this point in our lives. We don't know all of what's going on and how it's going to come out. We could say that about all times and in all places, couldn't we? Not only were they, the people of God, not in their forever home, just as we are not in our forever home right now, maybe our forever home on earth, but not the forever of all time. And we wonder, as the world bubbles all over the place around us, where will we be? What will be going on? We are here in the time between Christ's coming and Christ's return. We are a people not at home, yet it is our home for now. And therefore, we listen for these words from God that were given to the Babylonian, to the people in Babylon so long ago. And I would like to focus on this idea of buying or acquiring and having the living water. It is a word picture that is used in both the Old Testament and New Testaments. If we remember the fourth chapter of John, when Jesus meets the woman at the well, and how Jesus talked of being the living water himself, he pulls this, or at least is in the same vein, of Isaiah, this idea that this water gives life, and it does, especially to all of us. We can go a long time without food, but we can't go very long without having water. It is necessary. And in that part of the world, in that time, finding water was not always easy. So having this living water that was given to us by God brings a peace, or should bring a peace to us and where we are and whose we are. And I believe that probably those people, these Israelites so long at home who were not at home but away, probably the home they had been in for several generations, were seeking, out of all this geopolitical stuff that was going on, some way of understanding where they are with God. I think we would all like to find that out too, wouldn't we? Where are we with God? In this place that we are, where are we with God? Jesus, at the well, uses the same image of water, which is necessary for life, and a very good image in this very dry place. Isaiah used it centuries before. Jesus uses it again when he is here. It is important. I read and reread this passage so many times this week, I kind of started sleeping and hearing it in my own dreams. And I also looked at lots of passages in the Bible where it talks about living water, the water that gives life. It makes sure that we all have a life, this water. And I began to wonder if we today seek the living water. I mean, it's pretty easy for us to get water, for most of us anyway. We just turn on a tap. We just twist a little knob a little bit, or just pull it out, and it showers all over you, right? You can get it warm, tepid, cold. You can get it in ice form. You can get it in all kinds of places. It's very easy. Unlike it was so long ago when they were working from wells that would dry up when they didn't get enough rain. Are we still seeking the living water? And another question that kept rolling through my mind, how does our understanding of this living water jive with and how the church and all its members see the role of the church as offering a hose to people to come to living waters? How do we see ourselves who are giving to the world life through what Jesus Christ offers? Living water. Water that gives life for everyone. Now, I got to tell you, this is a thing that is pretty close to my heart, because it's at the very essence of the role of Christians should be playing in this grand craziness we call the Christian walk. How we are supposed to live our lives. How are we supposed to help others live their lives? How do we come together corporately to make everything better for everyone that is here? It's difficult. And it rings with me because of a good period of my life, I spent a lot of time physically dehydrated. And it's painful. I never knew when I was younger why I used to get cramps all the time. I never understood that. I ate plenty of salt on all of my fried foods. That should have solved it, right? That's at least what the doctor said back then. I drank tons of sweet iced tea. And guess what? As Mama said, that fixes everything. It makes all the ills go away. You drink that good old caffeinated, sweet, sugary iced tea. Yet I grew up playing sports, and I did have a penchant to sweating a lot. In both middle school, high school, and even college, I cramped very regularly. I mean very regularly, like almost every game in September and the first half of October. After that, I did pretty well. I sweated profusely. And it wasn't until 1990 when I moved to Florida in Maine, when I moved from Ohio to Florida in May, when I left it, it was like this temperature in Ohio. It was 98 in Florida. That May, I twice suffered dehydration by simply cutting the front yard. It got to be kind of a problem in my life. I couldn't do much of anything. So I go to a doctor. And this doctor informed me that medicine had come a long way since the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, where I had obviously been living. And that before going outside to do physical activities, I needed to consume twice as many ounces of water to cleanse the ounces of coffee and tea. Yes, even the sugary, nice, sweet tea that we all love so much. That just got you back to where you should be starting. Much less to go out and sweat profusely for an hour. I was told that I needed to drink water. Even when you don't feel thirsty. Because your body can't make up for all the other things in your body, especially when one does activities that drain water from your system. Funny, I had never heard that. I was 30-something years old, knew nothing about it. Of course, I did dodge biology here at Hampden, Sydney. I didn't do anything of that. I stayed away from it. And suddenly, my lifestyle changed considerably. I stopped drinking iced tea. I really kept my coffee intake very low. And I drank water all the time. And even then, sometimes I would be just a little bit behind the curve. So being somewhere where you're taking in as much water as you can just to be able to walk around outside, this business of having living water kind of came near and dear to my heart because it does give me a life that is much better. And this week I read and reread this passage. And I started asking myself a lot of questions. The first I had to ask my own self, do I drink the water of life? Do I really think about it, that God offers this water of life that is a gift of life that is full and keeps the pain from your body? Do I drink that water? Am I, as a Christian, offering the water of life to everyone? Is the church, universal and particular, offering the water of life, the very good news of Jesus? Are we doing that? I imagine that some days we could say that we've done it pretty well. Some days we would say we've probably never thought of it. And some days we're just out in la-la land anyway, so it doesn't really matter. As I pondered on this, and trust me, I can ponder on things for a long time and go in so many circles, it's crazy. As I pondered, I guess, because we are accepting new members today who aren't here, so I think we're not doing that now. You're safe now. You don't have to worry about it, Virginia. So we're good. Maybe they heard that I was preaching today, so they got away. That's already good. But it was this week as I thought about having new members come into the church. What is their vision of what we're doing about offering living water? Holding out something that your body and your soul needs to stay alive. Something that you can't live without, that you have to have. Something that if you don't have, you slowly die away. I had to ask myself, is what we do in at the College Presbyterian Church and in our lives, are we leading people to the water of life? That seemed to be what Isaiah was doing so long ago. Shouldn't that be what we are doing? That's what Jesus was doing with the woman at the well. I am the living water. If you drink of this, you will never need anything else. And as I pondered a great big bit, I have to say that I do not believe that the path to the water of life is how most of us see our job in church, or our job as Christians who walk around out in the world during the day, that we constantly think is, how can I get the life of the water of life to the people around me? Instead of filling ourselves daily on the water of life, we look to the church to top us off in 55 minutes every Sunday, or at least some Sundays. That if I just come to church long enough, the water of life will be in me and I'm great and I'm good to go. One of the things I can see is dehydration. I felt it, I've seen people with it, I've had it a bunch. It seems to me that the Church of Jesus Christ in North America today is dehydrated most of the time. We are not seeking that water that gives life eternal. We spend so much time pulling into the church, pumping up our gas can with everything, the water can into us for 55 minutes, and then we head out the door. And we haven't gone three steps outside of the door before we start thinking of all the things that we're going to do this whole week. Very few of them have anything to do with spreading the good news of the water of life. And we just had that, you see, because we come to church, and that's where you're going to fill us up. Keith, that's your job. You're going to fill us up. You're going to talk to us all about Jesus. That's going to be good. It's nice to talk about Jesus. We love Him. He loves us. We love each other. So let's just love each other and go to lunch. We come hoping, praying that this is all I've got to do to get myself into heaven. We really want that. And what we do is we miss the water that gives us all eternal life. Somehow we got this all backwards. I don't know if it's the making corporate decisions in churches or making churches into corporations the way that we have in this country, just like everything else. I'm not sure what it is that makes us think that by coming here for 1 hour every week, or, okay, let's be real, 2.5 weeks a month at least, that we are seeking Jesus, the water of life. So when we come back here, we haven't gotten full last week, so we have been working on scarcity all week long. Sort of the way I was for a number of years. Not enough water in me every day, so that at the end of the day, I was not who I should be, physically or mentally. This is not the filling station. If we look at what Jesus did with His disciples, He sent them out. Go out. Cure the sick. Preach the good news of God come to earth. Go. Spread the good news that the water of life is among you. They came back after some time. They didn't sit down in church and ask for four more fill-ups because they had already been filled up. They were so excited. They were so just going crazy with all the things that they had seen. We cast out demons. We healed the sick. We gave the good news to people and they believed it and wanted more. Jesus didn't say, let's go to church so we can get you filled up again. He said, no, come, let's talk. Let us rejuvenate ourselves. Let us take all of this energy that has come to us and talk through it and understand what has happened to you. Today we come into church, we sit, we listen to some stupid pastor saying dumb things for a little bit, and we go out the door and hope that our gas tank doesn't go completely dry before next Sunday. We have got it all turned around. We are supposed to spend all of our life filling our tank every day with the water that gives life. Sunday should not be about getting filled up. It's about rejoicing in all the things that we have been filling up on all week long. That we rejoice in what is happening and has happened and is continuing to happen. We cannot use 1 hour to fill up and be able to do the work God gives us in the next 167 hours. We have to continue to fill ourselves up with each other continually, seeking the living water. The church has tried to be efficient, but getting people filled up so they can lead people onto a path of the water of life, which is usually a path about 180 degrees away from the path of our society, it is not accomplished in an hour. If you had to pin something on the church in North America today, the Christian churches, all of them, I would say the Church of Jesus Christ has dehydration. We need desperately to hydrate daily, hourly, even second by second. Our hydration is not just spending time with God, but also helping others to see the gain we get as we commune with God. Jesus himself and his disciples did this one-on-one with people. It wasn't something that just happened because somebody walked into the room. It is really funny. One of the things I read, I had a really strange week. I was all over the place with this because it got me going. That's why I don't tell y'all all about it too much. I'd probably had me put away a long time ago. My wife's still trying. But anyway, there are animals who literally get their water out of the air. They don't drink. They're small ones. They are. I Googled it. EA didn't believe me, but I Googled it. And so something about this is different. God let these animals have the ability to take in the water, to hydrate themselves without having to be with others or do anything. They don't have to work at it. They don't have to do anything at all. They don't have to talk about God or go to God to get this living water. They get it right on in. But God has made it so that we have to go to God to get that living water. There's a reason for that. That's the only place that we can find it. Let us quit trying to be so efficient, so protected, so out of church and on to the next thing, and learn to work for and drink the water of life every single day, all day, and share it with everyone you can every minute of every day. That's what God wants us to do. In church, at work, in the dining hall, or in a restaurant, or wherever you go. Then, and only then, when we are fully hydrated, we can truly celebrate together at God's glory and love for all of us. Amen.